Well, good morning. Kids, you are dismissed for children's church. You may go with Alice. Okay, well, how are you all doing this morning? Tell you what, I had a good week, had a full week. Poor Dan, he had a tough week. He's not a morning person, but I kept showing up at his door all week at 7 a.m. Of course, not as bad. I have to admit that one morning I didn't get there till 7:10, but that's because I shut off the alarm. Kevin shows up at my door at 5 to 7. Knocks on the door. I'm like, but still got to Dan's house by 7:10, so I was dressed and out the door in 5 minutes. But we had a good week at district conference. There were some very encouraging messages. It was good to see some people that were there. The focus was on reaching the city and on the multicultural aspect of the city and the fact that the city has now become the mission field. That the world has moved here. We don't have to go overseas. It's right here. We look at all the people who live in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and we realize that, you know, we have a total of 5 Alliance churches that are inside the borders of Minneapolis and St. Paul. 2 of them are Hmong, 1 is Vietnamese, and 2 are from the Northwestern District. And they're both in St. Paul. We're the closest thing to a Minneapolis church that the Northwestern District has. The Vietnamese district has taken over the old Grand Avenue Alliance. And they're meeting there. So that's good that somebody's down there still doing ministry there. But the district has, over the years, immigrated from Minneapolis and St. Paul. And now they're attempting to give it a focus looking back at the cities. As you know, there's a million people that live in Minneapolis and St. Paul, another 1.9 or something like that that live in the surrounding areas, and we're focusing on the 1.9, forgetting about the million. That's kind of silly. So that's why they had the district conference at Central Mission Church, which used to be, well, it used to be Simpson Memorial, but before it was between Simpson Memorial and that, there was one other one. What was it? Midway. Yeah, Midway Alliance. It was a good conference. It was probably, I consider it to be probably the best district conference I've personally attended. Messages spoke to me, just the whole concept of we had workshops to attend that were relevant and good. And the business got done without having to take more time than necessary. Of course, I sat up front and said, second, so moved. Tried to move things along quickly. Sometimes we didn't wait till they were done reading what they were. But it was fun. It was good. And so we'd get there at 7 and get home, you know, after 9. So that makes it a long day. But it was well worthwhile. I found it to be refreshing, even though it was physically draining. It was emotionally and spiritually well worth the time. Now, today I have titled my message, Temple Life. And we look at our passage, maybe you'll see some relevance to that title, maybe you won't. But the important thing here is to focus in on what the Word is saying and not on my title. So let's take a look and see what 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 have for us this morning. It says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you've laid it out here for us, that you are speaking to us fresh and anew through it every day, that your word is alive, that the Holy Spirit can touch our hearts and our minds and give us a deeper and greater understanding than that which we can have with just our human wisdom and understanding. So Lord, we pray for that understanding which is spiritual, which comes through the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that as I preach, all who hear your word would be encouraged and blessed. Lord, that we would think about your word and that you would show us how to follow you best. Now, Lord, we come before you this morning to worship. We ask for your presence here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you may not realize this, or it may not look like it, but I am going back to the gym. I have actually lost about 8 or 10 pounds. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get healthy. And I started doing that before I realized I would be preaching this passage, which says that this body is the temple. It's like, yeah, right. That's my initial reaction when I think of my body and say, this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God? Oh, goodness. You know, I want to apologize to God. I haven't taken very good care of it. I've beaten it up. I've banged it up. I've taken in more calories than necessary. Done less exercise than I ought. And various sundry ways of abusing it. And originally when I look at that passage, that was kind of what I've always thought that passage meant. But the closer I look at it, and the closer I look to the way it's surrounded, I think that's important and an aspect, but it's not the focus. It's not the intent. Last week, I stood up here and I had some little pyrotechnics. That was fun. I had a good time. I don't know about you, but I like making fire. I was always the kid that made the bonfire when I was in Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts and Indian Guides. You know, Indian Guides is kindergartners. And I'm like, ah, make a fire. Like fire. But last week, it was talking about the fact that our lives are going to be tested with fire. And what we've built into it, is it going to survive that test? Now, we see in this passage, it's talking about that you yourselves are God's temple. What's God's temple? The house of God. The house where God dwells. Here we're talking about, you know, this lives that we're building, this building that we're building, God's temple that we're building of our lives will be tested. That God's Spirit lives in us. So yes, the physical exercise and the eating right and being healthy and taking care of the body, good personal hygiene. I mean, am I showering and shaving, brushing my teeth, and you know, doing all the things I can do to make this look at least semi-presentable? I mean, I can't help the way I look, but I can at least help to make what I do look like as good as possible. I mean, I got the family knows and things like that. I could nitpick at each little issue, and some of us do that, but that's not the point. The point is, take care of what God gave us and be blessed by it. I kind of mentioned about, last week, is that I'm appreciative of what God gave me and the blessings God gave me. I mean, God gave me this body. I need to be appreciative of it. But again, that's a wrong turn from where the Scripture is leading here today. But that's often the way that we go, or I've heard this passage talked about. If I am the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, what other biblical references or places does it talk about that? Well, we have the Ark of the Covenant, where we have the presence of the Lord. We have the tabernacle where the ark was kept. And one of the interesting things in 1 and 2 Samuel, as you go through and look at 1 and 2 Samuel, you see story after story of people trying to take control of the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because that's where God dwelt. And these other people say, if I steal your God. They thought that the Ark was God, but the Ark wasn't God, just the Holy Spirit happened to dwell there. And they felt if they captured the God, then they would have control of the God. Wrong. That's not the way it worked. They bring the Ark in the temple, they find their God falls down, breaks his nose. Head falls off, Well, it's bad, so we get rid of them. And, we're fine. We got the ark here. Our God's there, and we have all our people dying. Okay, we don't want it. We see these stories of, even at one point, where an Israelite who is helping to take the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem reaches out to steady the ark as it's jostled and going to fall off a cart because they're carrying it in ox cart, which they're not supposed to do, but we won't get into that more. But he reaches out and touches it as he's not supposed to do. And God strikes him down. Why? Because the ark was where the presence of God was. It was holy. And the word here is telling us that if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Now remember the context of what's going on here. We have people arguing about who's following whom. Paul or Apollos or Peter or Jimmy or Jonger or whatever. They're all confused. They're taking sides against each other. And now Paul is coming in here and saying, hey, if you come against the body or against the temple of God, if you destroy the temple, God will destroy you. He's saying, you're the temple. So those who are leading you astray, God is going to bring judgment against. Those who cause you to go wrong, God's going to bring judgment against. Matthew chapter 18. Same thing happens. Is that my wife's purse again? We'll talk to her about that. Cell phones on silence, please. We've not had to do that before. Oh, she's not here. We have God's Word in several places telling us that those who lead the children astray, those who cause others to sin, teachers who teach wrongly, are all going to face judgment. And it's bad. It's not judgment. I find you $5. No. It's better that they'd not been born, or that they'd been had a millstone thrown around their neck. Isn't that what Matthew 18? That one? I always liked that one. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, I was a lifeguard, and drowning is probably one of the things that freaks me out the most. Just the whole idea of drowning is, I don't like it. Okay, just... But that's what God says. That'd be better. Better for me to drown like that than that I should lead somebody, one of God's children, astray. Now remember, these are literally children in the Lord. In fact, Paul's kind of has gotten on their case about the fact that they haven't grown up and matured yet. That they're still needing baby food, milk. But those who are leading them astray, those who are bringing dissension, those who are harming the body of Christ, the church, corporately, and those individuals that make up the body of Christ, both, people who bring harm to that, they're going to face judgment. So we take this in context, we see that the context is that don't you be the one who causes your church to be in an uproar. Don't you be the one who runs somebody off. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. If I cause you to fall away from God, I'm toast. If you do that to somebody, guess what? It's not happy day. We sang, oh, happy day. It's a very unhappy day. Because that is exactly contrary to God's will. And you are not a servant of God if you're doing that which is contrary to His will. But what it says, we're at the place where we can't lose ourselves. Okay. It also tells us that we need to work at it. That we need to make sure our salvation. And here it's telling us this is one of the things, consequences. We need to balance all these things together. We need to look at our lives. We need to wake up and say, hey, what am I doing? One, to take care of this temple that God is having His Holy Spirit reside in. We need to take care of the temple, yes. I've been informed that my body is the temple of God. So, by rights, I need to take care of it. Okay? Good. But that's not the focus of this. The focus here is that I need to make sure that the temple of God is not destroyed. That I don't destroy it. That I'm not bringing division, jealousy, worldliness into the church. That I'm not teaching something which is contrary to God. Peggy's going to be held to a higher standard because she's a Sunday school teacher. Dan's going to be held to a higher standard because he runs a ministry. Butch is going to be held to a higher standard because he leads worship. I'm going to be held to a higher standard because I stand up here and I preach. And if I, in my preaching, lead any of the little ones astray, or somehow come against God's temple and cause it to be harmed, then I've got problems. Again, this is, as we're taking this in the context, he's speaking about division in the church. He's speaking about conflict here. He's speaking about people coming in with wrong teachings, wrong foci, wrong focuses, whatever. Is it foci or focuses? Thank you. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Are we living our lives recognizing the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living within us? Are we living our lives recognizing the fact that we need to protect not just this temple, but that temple, and that temple, that one? You get the message. Take care of our bodies, yes. I'm glad I'm doing it. I'm glad I'm getting healthier. Because I've got the Holy Spirit living within me. I need to do what I can. But more than that, I need to take care of the temple that comes by loving one another, that comes by reading God's Word, that comes by doing what it is that God has instructed each of us to do. God has given me gifts in certain areas. I need to use those gifts. If I don't use those gifts, I'm literally handicapping the body of Christ. I'm tearing down a wing of the temple. When I think about things like that, I go, wow. Kind of scares me a little bit. Well, we are supposed to be a little bit scared of God. Yeah, He loves us. But we don't want Him mad at us. We certainly don't want to be the recipient of His judgment. I don't. I know I didn't want to be the recipient of my dad's judgment, and he was just a man. We need to recognize we're holy. The body of Christ is holy, from the newest believer to the oldest believer. The Holy Spirit resides within each one. He doesn't reside in me more than He resides in somebody else just because I happen to stand up front. Trust me on that one. What it means is just I'm held to a higher accountability. We need to live our lives knowing that we ourselves are God's temple. That we are sacred. What are we bringing into our lives? What are we doing? What are we as the body doing? This works individually and it works corporately. It's speaking to both. This time. It's going to speak other places on the individual level and speak other places corporately in Scripture. But this particular passage, as I look at this, I see it speaking both individually and corporately. We're holy. We need to live like it. The Holy Spirit lives within us.
Let Him be the one to lead.
You know, a lot of evangelicals have made jokes about the book, you know, Mission Aviation Fellowship author had wrote a book called, you know, God is My Co-Pilot years ago. And, you know, a lot of pastors go, if God's your co-pilot, then you better change seats. Well, yeah, there's some truth to that. Maybe, but if actually, I think that God doesn't want to be in the driver's seat. He wants us to drive. He just wants us to listen and follow His directions. He's the navigator, co-pilot, whatever. I think it is appropriate to say He's the co-pilot. Any pilot who's not listening to his navigator and co-pilot is a bad pilot. Because they're saying, hey, you missed a mark and you need to make a turn. Then you best, if you don't believe them, you better double check. But you just don't ignore it. Well, it's all yet. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You, Lord, that You come and live within us. Lord, it's beyond what we ever imagined. You came and to Moses and spoke in the bush, and then came as a pillar of smoke by day and fire by night as You led the Israelites out of Egypt and through their journey in the wilderness for 40 years. Your presence was in the Ark of the Covenant, Your Holy Spirit present when they built the temple. But now You've said that we are the temple. And that with the resurrection of Jesus, that You would send Your Holy Spirit to live in each one of us. Just as You lived in the temple, as You lived in the Ark of the Covenant, as You live there now, You live within us. Father, might our lives be like that pillar of smoke by day and fire by night. Might we be holy. Might we be lights which lead people closer to You. Father, might we not do that which desecrates Your temple. Lord, might we not bring strife and division, jealousy, false teachings into Your church, into Your temple. Instead, Lord, might we seek and follow You always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close.